This is your Sound Off Extra Thursday night edition of your Survivor Series 2020 predictions. I am the Solemn Monster here on the Sound Off YouTube channel. Thank you guys for joining me here on a rare Thursday stream. I thought we'd go live for a few minutes and talk a little bit of Survivor Series, which is coming up this Sunday on, well, I was going to say pay-per-view, I guess the WWE Network. What number Survivor Series is this, after all? They started in 1987, so there's been a lot of them. Been a lot of Survivor Series shows. Survivor Series used to be one of my favorite annual events. It's been a while. Been a while since I think there has been a top-to-bottom Survivor Series that I really loved. There have been some real good matches in recent years. You know, Brock Lesnar has had a whole bunch of good matches against AJ and Daniel Bryan. There are occasionally some really good elimination matches. I used to be a sucker for all the elimination matches. Survivor Series, unfortunately, has lost a lot of its luster over the years. Doesn't quite mean what it used to mean. Hasn't really felt special for a long time. But this is the final WWE pay-per-view from the Thunderdome, or at least the Thunderdome in its current incarnation at the Amway Center in Orlando. Coming up this Sunday, this will be the final pay-per-view there. WWE did make it official. I guess we should get into the news first. They made it official earlier today in a press release that they are moving the Thunderdome elsewhere in the state of Florida. They are moving to Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida, starting with the December 11th episode of SmackDown. So with the NBA season kicking off next month, the Orlando Magic play at the Amway Center. They had to get the hell out of there no matter what. We knew WWE was going to have to move. NBA gets precedent over them. So they had to get out no matter what. So WWE basically joining the thousands of other people across the country who are being kicked out of their homes. WWE has been evicted here during this pandemic. Tropicana Field is an indoor baseball stadium. It is the home of the Tampa Bay Rays. Same Tampa Bay Rays that just went to the World Series. And that will make this the third straight Royal Rumble coming up in January to take place inside of a baseball stadium. No Citi Field. You mean to tell me that WWE doesn't want to run a show from an outdoor baseball stadium in New York in January? Come on. Come on. Royal Rumble at Citi Field, though, would be pretty cool. I haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium, so I can't say how nice or not it is over there. Citi Field, if you actually go to Citi Field, it is a pretty nice stadium. Maybe not the Rumble. Maybe in the summertime one day, WWE will do a show there. There have been multiple power outages at Tropicana Field in recent years during various events. And so that could pose a pretty big problem for WWE. There could be some Thunderdome blackouts, you know, and it would be very visible too, because in this case, right, you're not just talking about the lights going out. You're talking about all of these LED screens. Now, unless they have some kind of backup generator, that might not be such a good thing. It is not known, or it is not regarded as one of the nicer baseball stadiums out there in Major League Baseball. In fact, USA Today ranked it second to last a few years ago. Second only to Oakland. Oakland was ranked dead last in terms of the nicest of the 30 Major League ballparks. But Tropicana Field was right there at number 29. This show, though, let's get into Survivor Series. Survivor Series is not from the Trop. Survivor Series is in Orlando. It is being billed this year the best of the best. Every pay-per-view this year, in case you've noticed, ever since WrestleMania, has had some kind of a tagline to it. WrestleMania this year was too big for one night. We had the greatest wrestling match ever, which was, I guess, back at Backlash. The horror show at Extreme Rules. Every show had some kind of tagline. This one is the best of the best. But the other tagline, the entire thing this show is really being promoted around, is the final farewell of The Undertaker. That is what is really the entire promotion of this year's show is built around this being the supposed final farewell of The Undertaker. And I see a lot of Super Chats are coming in. I forgot to mention that you can send in Super Chats. You don't have to, but if you do, always appreciate that support. There's a new one, by the way. You can see all of them down below in the description. There is a new one I threw in there. And I will read each and every single one of your Super Chats. And if you have predictions for Survivor Series, I don't want to just tell you my predictions. I want to hear your predictions. So if you want to send in Super Chats, you know, with your predictions as well, feel free to do so. But let's talk about The Undertaker. Because he's not having a match, or at least there's no match being promoted for him. But he will be there. He will be there in the flesh. They're billing it as the final farewell. This is the 30th anniversary to the very day, to the very pay-per-view that The Undertaker made his WWE television debut. I have been watching Survivor Series 1990 piecemeal the last few days on the network here and there where I can find a few minutes. I've been going back and watching it because Survivor Series 1990 is one of my favorite ones. Survivor Series 90 was the only year they ever did the grand finale match of survival at the end, where all the survivors from the earlier matches went to this big finale match at the very end, and you had the heels on one side, and you had the baby faces on the other. So I thought that was kind of unique. Undertaker made his debut, the giant egg that hatched. I'm going to get into all that this weekend on the Sound Off. This week in history is gigantic this week, and part of it is Survivor Series 1990. So I will get into more detail about the egg and the gobbledygooker, and all of the wonderful things about Survivor Series 90. That was always one of my favorite shows, and that was the night that Brother Love introduced the world, and Ted DiBiase introduced the world to The Undertaker. And here we are 30 years later talking about this guy's career. Undertaker has been making the rounds. He's been doing more media than he's done in 30 years that he has spent in this company. Which, in a way, I mean, I like it because he's finally able to share stories and open up in ways that he really never has before. But I also am kind of, I'm like watching him answer the same questions over and over and over again. And it's like, all right, how many times are we going to hear the story of the call with Vince McMahon? Are you my Undertaker? And, you know, all the usual, you know, the Hell in a Cell with Mankind and all that kind of stuff. But I have to give props to the, what is his name? Sean Hot Ones. I got so many messages about Hot Ones. Undertaker's going to be on Hot Ones. Did you see Hot Ones? I did see Hot Ones. I enjoyed it. And I got to give the Undertaker a lot of props, too, because he never touched the milk that was on the table for all of the hot wings that he was having. And it was getting hotter and hotter and hotter as they went along. He never touched the milk. He wasn't crying out of his nose. He wasn't throwing up in a garbage can. If that were me, by the time I was on the second wing, my eyeballs would have been popping out of my head. I am not a spicy food guy. But yes, I did see Hot Ones. It was very good. And I thought the host did a good job, too. He dug out some questions that, you know, I hadn't heard people ask Undertaker before. So if you have not seen it, it's up on YouTube. Just type in Hot Ones Undertaker. It's about half an hour. I thought it was a lot of fun. But I watched some stuff on the network. They've been promoting this entire month, 30 Days of the Dead Man. So they've had a lot of Undertaker-themed programming on the network now for the last few weeks. I did see the Paul Bearer documentary. Very well done. If you have not seen the Paul Bearer documentary, I would encourage you all to go check it out. It's got file footage, interview footage with him from maybe a couple of years before he passed away. So they actually do get comments from him on there. And it's very well done. And it really is a shame that he can't be here to be part of this. If this really is the end of The Undertaker. And again, we've heard this before. As I listen to The Undertaker do all of these interviews, it does increasingly sound like in his mind, he believes that this is the end. But he's made that, he uses those words when he talks about this. He goes, in my mind, I'm 100% done. In my mind, this is the end. It's not his mind that matters. Because The Undertaker, in his mind, has retired at least 3 or 4 times before. He thought he was done after the tag match where he tagged up with Roman Reigns against Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon. I mean, we have it on video. He went to Vince and said, I'm done. I'm finished. And Vince McMahon ended up talking him back into it, and he said, well, you know, I owe it to the old man. I got to come back and do one more match. So who's to say whether or not this really is the end? But if it is, it's too bad that Paul Bearer couldn't be there because he really deserves to be. But I also watched the Brothers of Destruction documentary, which I believe is getting the not award show, film festival. I think it's getting the film festival treatment. Look, I thought it was good. It's Undertaker and Kane. It's Mark Calloway and Glenn Jacobs sitting down on a stage in an empty auditorium, just shooting the breeze and talking about their careers for 45 minutes. They didn't cover a whole lot of new ground that, you know, we probably haven't heard from them before as far as stories that they've told about their careers. But one of the interesting parts of it, I thought, was talking about WrestleMania 30 and the end of the streak. And Kane tells the story. He was in the back because he was on the card that night. He had a very short match earlier in the show. And he was watching the end of the Brock Lesnar Undertaker match. And he sees the finish. And his first thought was my first thought, because I was in the audience that night. And there was a lot of confusion when the referee counted three. And my first thought was, uh-oh, referee fucked up. And the referee botched the call. Now they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we get out of this? Because the streak is on the line. They didn't play anybody's music. So, you know, me and Kane were kind of on the same wavelength here. And Kane's thinking, oh boy, you know, the referee messed up. And then he realized that, in fact, the referee did not mess up. And once Kane realized what had happened, he was so angry, he stormed out of the room. That's how upset he was. And that's very similar to a story that Steve Austin tells. Stone Cold was in the truck with Kevin Dunn drinking a beer, watching the match, because of course he was. And when he saw that finish, he was upset. He was angry. He was very shocked, as everybody was. But, you know, even the guys that he worked with, even his friends and his colleagues thought, what are you doing? You're going to break the streak, and you're going to break the streak in this way? Well, and they were very upset about it. So I had never heard Kane talk about that before. I thought that was interesting. But Undertaker chimed in and said, dude, when I got to the building that day, I was going over. We had talked about this. We had, you know, been negotiating about it for days or weeks in advance. When I got to the Superdome, I was going over. Undertaker's streak was intact as far as the finish. And a few hours before the show, Vince McMahon comes to him and says, it's time. I want Brock to go over. And Undertaker thought, well, Brock doesn't need it. You know, he goes, if that's what you want, you know, like the anti-Bret Hart. Yes, at Survivor Series, only Bret had creative control. I don't know what kind of creative control Undertaker had. You would think if ever Undertaker was going to exercise creative control, that would have been it. So I assume he doesn't have that in his con. I think Vince learned his lesson after 97 as far as creative control. But Undertaker was like, all right, if you think that's the right move to make, then that's what we'll do. So right up until a few hours before, one of the most famous finishes in company history was just going to be another win for The Undertaker until Vince McMahon. And I would love to know, in Vince's head, what was it that made him change his mind? There had to be something. Did he just think he was too old? Did he see him limping around in the back and think, boy, this is pathetic. We have to end this. I would love to know what was going through his head when Vince McMahon made that decision. But anyway, just to wrap up that story, both of them agreed that if the streak was going to be broken, they felt it should have been Roman Reigns. Now imagine the shitstorm that would have kicked up if babyface Roman Reigns was the one to end the streak. See, I don't think if it was the current version of Roman, I don't think people would really care. I think people might even, not everybody, but I think a lot of people would actually accept it and say, you know what, that is a good idea. But had that version of Roman Reigns ended the streak, you would have had wrestling fans rioting online. They would have been burning down the house online. But they both felt Roman was the one who really could have benefited more than Brock Lesnar. So on Sunday, not only is it Survivor Series, but to cap off this whole month of Undertaker programming, it's part two of the Broken Skull session, Stone Cold interviewing The Undertaker. I have to assume it's just an extended version of the first interview they did, but all the footage we didn't get in part one. Who knows? Maybe Undertaker traveled back to the studio and did a round two. That's what I'm most looking forward to. I enjoyed the first interview with them. One of my favorite interviews that Austin has ever done. If part one is any indication, part two should be very cool. So that drops on Sunday for those of you who want to check that out. What are they doing with The Undertaker on Sunday? They're bringing in some special guests. We know that. Savio Vega, who was part of his BSK crew back in the day, he will be there. The Godfather, maybe not in that gimmick, but the Godfather will be there. He was also a member of The Undertaker's little BSK posse. And according to PW Insider, and this may be a spoiler, so if you don't want to know the names of any other guests, well, I don't know what to tell you because I'm going to tell you anyway. But Kurt Angle is coming to the Thunderdome on Sunday. He will be there. Kane is expected to be there as well, but you had to assume. I mean, come on. If you're doing a farewell to The Undertaker, Kane should be there. So Kane and Kurt Angle. I don't know if any of them are going to be on camera. I don't know if any of them are going to be in the ring with The Undertaker, if any of them are going to get introductions, if they're going to get their own entrances, if they're just going to be in the back. Maybe they're going to be filming a documentary. I would almost guarantee you they are going to film some kind of documentary for the network. But those are the names of some of the invited guests who will be in attendance. It would be nice on the one hand to think that Undertaker would just come out and speak from the heart. But you know what? We've been hearing The Undertaker speak from the heart now for weeks. And it's a little hollow because there's no audience there. So this Survivor Series is the perfect time for him to be doing this, but it sucks because there's no people in the crowd. He's going to be talking. Not only is he not going to be talking to people, even the screens with all the people's faces, he's going to have his back turned to them because you got to face the hard camera. So it's not the ideal circumstance, you know, not having a live audience there. The question is somebody going to interrupt? There's The Undertaker right there. There he is. Look at him. Look how happy he is. That's the face of a man who is happy to be going into at least semi-retirement. That is the Undertaker 420 donation. Thank you for that. That is the face of a man who is ready to live out his twilight years and put his career behind him. Retribution has no match on this show, and that's fine with me, because Retribution has been a bust so far. But I was a little puzzled by why they gave away the whole Retribution against the Hurt Business on TV when that could have been a Survivor Series match. And I know Bobby Lashley has a singles match already, but it makes me think that we may see Retribution on Sunday. And we may see Retribution interrupt the middle of The Undertaker's farewell speech. They come out to the ring. They surround the ring. Undertaker is either in there by himself, or if it's him and Kane and some of these other guys, now they're surrounded by Teabag and Slapdick and all of the different members of Retribution. And they attack The Undertaker. They go in for the attack, and they're being overwhelmed. Now, they shouldn't have any issue fighting these guys off, because we saw Bobby Lashley fight them off, right, all by himself a few weeks ago. It shouldn't be too difficult for these guys. But I can envision a situation where they surround the ring, they either attack or they're about to attack, and all of a sudden, the lights go out, or the red light comes on, and who should make an appearance but The Fiend and Alexa Bliss. And Alexa could go after Mia Yim, or Reckoning, or whatever they're calling her. So she could attack her, but here's The Fiend. And The Fiend has had a run-in before with the members of Retribution. And together with The Undertaker and the Legends, they clean house, and we get something of a... I mean, I hate to use this expression, but, you know, I guess in a way, kind of like a passing of the torch from one gimmick to the other. So not a combative moment, but almost a moment of unity or respect with The Fiend and The Undertaker. So in his own way, in his farewell appearance, The Undertaker does get to put over one of the newer acts. And you get to see The Fiend and The Undertaker in the same place at the same time. I have no interest in seeing a match between them, but I could envision a situation like that. So I think we're looking at something like that as far as what The Undertaker may be doing on this pay-per-view. So now we get into the Survivor Series. 2 years ago, Raw embarrassed SmackDown. I mean, it was such a one-sided whooping, it wasn't even funny. They embarrassed SmackDown. It was a clean sweep for the Raw brand on the main card. WWE did not count the one lone SmackDown win because it was on the kickoff show, so I guess to them it didn't count. Last year, NXT was the winner in this whole battle for brand supremacy. So, and it was awesome seeing NXT being part of the show. And I think there's a chance NXT would have been included this year, but you got multiple COVID outbreaks down there at the COVID Coliseum, and that pretty much that took NXT out of the running. That and the fact that they've now been on the losing end of all these ratings battles most weeks with AEW. You know, a year ago, it was still kind of fresh and new. And I think Vince McMahon wanted to make sure that he kind of just buried AEW. Let's put everything behind NXT and just bury this other brand. And that didn't happen. And there's no sign of that happening anytime soon. You know, NXT will pop off a win here and there. But by and large, AEW has pretty much kept them at bay, as they did this week, has pretty much kept them at bay. So I just get the sense that, you know, yeah, the COVID stuff, but I, you know, they just kind of lost interest. Vince McMahon lost interest and said, we're not going to have NXT here again. SmackDown has been a much better show in recent weeks. I mean, for me at least, it's been a much easier show to follow along. And I think SmackDown goes over this year. Not a clean sweep. Now, we do, by my count, have about half a dozen matches of Raw versus SmackDown. Now, that could change. In fact, I expect that they're going to add something to the kickoff show. I'm doing this a few days early, so nothing yet has been announced for the kickoff show. I guess to WWE, the kickoff show wouldn't count anyway. But we've got six matches, and so you could conceivably have a split between the two brands, and they tie. Three wins for Raw, three wins for SmackDown. That would make this pay-per-view even more meaningless than it already is. So it's possible we could end up with a tie if it stays at six. I'm going to say SmackDown gets the bragging rights, whatever that even means. I mean, I've talked about this before, the lack of anything tangible being on the line, it just makes Survivor Series, it just makes it impotent. I mean, that's a good word for it. It has rendered Survivor Series to be impotent. Survivor Series just can't get it up. Tries and it tries and it tries. Can't do it. That is what they have done to the Survivor Series. You know, Survivor Series needed that little blue pill. That little blue pill is what Survivor Series needed. But it doesn't have any health insurance or prescription coverage because it's an independent contractor. So, sucks to be the Survivor Series. This is what we're left with. We've got a bunch of brand warfare matches with nothing at stake. Nothing at stake. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be good matches. In fact, I think, yeah, especially that main event, and I'll talk about the main event here in a little bit. On paper, there are some pretty good matches on the show. And I think that if they go out there and they give them time to just go out there and do their thing, then we could end up with a pretty good card. I just wish there was something on the line. I just wish there was something at stake. I also don't like the whole idea of putting champions in a position to lose. You know, if you're a champion, you get beat, then you should lose your title. But there's no titles on the line. It's all non-title matches. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. You can have a match where there's a disqualification or there's a draw or some kind of no contest. You can't do that in every single match. So again, somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And I'm not really much a fan of that. There is no kickoff match. If I had to guess what the kickoff match would be, I'll tell you what I think the kickoff match should be. And I know we saw poor Tucker on TV a few weeks ago. This guy looks like, I said something out of a wrestling challenge episode from 1991. Unrecognizable. What have they done to poor Tucker, right? That guy is, he's done. He's toast. He's finished. But I would like to see them just tie up that little loose end. He attacked Otis, but they were already on different brands. We never got any kind of resolution between Tucker and Otis. Well, there's your Raw versus SmackDown match for the kickoff show. Otis one-on-one against Tucker. Otis, we saw, he was almost being recruited by Chad Gable on Friday. Chad Gable's going to be his mentor from this new Alpha Academy gimmick that he's doing. So Chad Gable can mentor Otis down to the ring, and Otis can get the win over Tucker. Tucker is done. Tucker is finished. Tucker was finished the minute that they split them up in the draft. That was the beginning of the end. That was it. When he walked out on TV a few weeks ago looking the way he looked, with Tucker Knight written on his pant legs, that was the wake. Now he's been buried and he's gone. So if they do that match, Otis goes over. Team Raw. We have the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana taking on Team SmackDown, Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and two more competitors to be determined. So we don't even have all the names. I'm doing these predictions before I even have the names of all the people who are in the match. Now I have to predict who's going to be in the match. I can't just predict the match outcomes here. I got to go above and beyond. I got to try to guess. You know how hard it is to guess what's in these people's heads? I feel like a lot of their heads are pretty empty. So there isn't really much there in some cases. Mandy Rose, she got legitimately hurt last week. I think it was on the spot where Nia threw her out of the ring. You know what? I can't even blame that on Nia if that's where the injury happened. Because it just looked like Nia threw her through the ropes. Didn't really throw her any more forcefully than she normally would. Mandy, though, she went to grab the rope and she missed the rope. And she landed hard on her shoulder on the apron. I can't put that on Nia. There's a lot of stuff you can blame Nia Jax for. That is not one of those things I would blame her for. Dana Brooke being removed was not due to a legitimate injury. It was due to a storyline beatdown that she got on TV from Shayna. No, it wasn't Shayna. It was Mia Yim. I'm sorry. It was Mia Yim. Reckoning. I got to get used to that name. Reckoning attacked her. And so that's why Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans have now taken their place in this match. Now, on Raw, to explain the Mandy injury, Mandy was in a match. Shayna Baszler stomped on her arm on the ring steps. So that is the storyline explanation for the injury. And Lana was in that same match. Lana tapped out to the Asuka Lock. This was on Raw Monday night. And she went through the announce desk for the 9th consecutive week. So we have now had 9 weeks of Lana going through the announce table. And it is all built to the Survivor Series. Survivor Series would be number 10. 10 straight weeks if she goes through a table on Sunday night. Before I get to the finish, who I think is going to win, who are the final two competitors on Team SmackDown? You only have so many options. I mean, it's not like the SmackDown women's roster is that big. Bayley has no match on the show, which is ridiculous. I mean, Bayley was the longest reigning women's champion in the history of the brand. She should be on the show. So I think Bayley will either be added to the match or she will qualify for the match on SmackDown tomorrow night. I feel like it's a foregone conclusion Natty is going to get in. They've almost been doing this story where Natty wants to get in and she hasn't gotten in. I think Bayley gets in. I think Natty gets in. It's pretty babyface heavy. In fact, I think, let me take a look here. I think they're all babyfaces already, right? Bianca, Ruby, and Liv. So you need to balance things out. I think two heels makes sense. So I think it'll be Bayley and Natty. I think that Bayley will be jealous of Bianca Belair. The fact that Bianca is, she's the hot new thing on the brand, or maybe they're calling her the team captain. I don't know if there is a captain or not. You know, here in New York, on the baseball side, if you're the captain, you're only the captain if you have the letter C on your jersey. If you don't have the letter C on your shirt, you're not the captain. So I don't know who's going to be wearing the letter C on Sunday. But, you know, Bayley is jealous of Bianca, and maybe she causes Bianca to be eliminated. I know a lot of people are hoping that Bianca Belair is the sole survivor and she's the last woman standing. I'd be fine with that, and I think there's a very real possibility that might happen. If Team SmackDown wins, I think there's a very good chance it's because Bianca Belair is the sole survivor. But I don't think Team SmackDown is winning. This is one of the rare matches on the show I don't think SmackDown is going to win. I think Bayley may lead to her being eliminated, or maybe both women. Maybe they're fighting and they both get eliminated. But I think Bayley is the next feud for Bianca Belair. That would be the biggest program, the biggest feud of Bianca's career so far if she gets matched up with Bayley. Because I think Bianca needs somebody credible to beat. And aside from the champion, who she's not ready to wrestle yet, Bayley is probably the most credible woman they have on that roster. So I could see that being the next program for her. I think Team Raw is going to win. And I think Lana is going to be the sole survivor. I think this is all building to her almost by accident, being the sole survivor of this match on Sunday. I think she does get put through a table for the 10th time. I think she gets put through a table during the match, and then she's sort of forgotten about, and you almost just forget that she's still in the match. The match goes on. Lana is just laying outside, and you just sort of forget about her. And at the most opportune moment, at just the right moment, is when she pops up, and you realize, oh shit, Lana was never eliminated. So they could do something here where she gets a shock roll up on Bayley. And that's how Bayley gets eliminated. Bayley's, oh, I won. I'm the sole survivor. And then she gets rolled up and pinned. Or she could do that to Natty. Natty would actually make more sense. Because if you remember, the last time we saw these two together on TV, Natty and Lana were partners. All of a sudden, Natty and Lana became best friends on TV. And they were tag team partners for a few months there. But the last time we saw them together on TV, Lana lost a match and Natty was just reaming her out. And she was yelling at her and berating her. So it actually would make more sense if it was Natty. Natty thinks, you know, it's amazing that she even gets into the match. Then she thinks she wins. But in fact, there's Lana. There's Lana to screw her over again. She was screwing her over on Raw. Now she's screwing her over again. So that's how I see the women's match playing out. Colin likes the light show behind me. I'm glad you like it. I like the lights. Makes things more festive, right? Especially during the holiday season. Ryan Spies, when are you going to do $1,000 cameos like The Undertaker? Yeah, I noticed The Undertaker is on Cameo for a limited time. Undertaker gets to go on that third-party service. Very interesting. I wonder if WWE organized that or if he did that on his own. Ironically, we have a super chat here from The Phenom. What would be your thoughts on Karrion Kross ending The Undertaker's career at WrestleMania? We don't need to see it. We don't need any more Undertaker matches. This, even if I really don't believe that this is the end, this should be the end. The Undertaker, there's no better WrestleMania match that he's going to have than that Boneyard match. That's it. I mean, all the questions going into WrestleMania this year were, you know, AJ's probably the best opponent that he could be in the ring with, but you never know what you're going to get with a straight wrestling match with The Undertaker. So the fact that they had to adjust for the pandemic and do what they did turned out to be the best thing in the world. Undertaker was the highlight of WrestleMania this year. He literally main evented night one of WrestleMania. I think he just leave well enough alone. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that would have been a pretty badass match. I don't want to see that now. I have no interest in seeing that. And I don't think Karrion Kross needs it either. Karrion Kross, he's going to do just fine without getting the rub from The Undertaker. So we have the United States champion, Bobby Lashley, one-on-one against the Intercontinental champion, Sami Zayn, representing SmackDown. Heel versus heel. No investment whatsoever in this match. I like Sammy. I don't hate Lashley. I mean, I actually like the Hurt Business, but I have absolutely no stake in this match whatsoever. Very little interest in this match at all. This what is the point of this other than, well, we have to do Raw versus SmackDown. So we'll take our two minor champions and we'll just match them up one-on-one. And what you end up with here is a match that really just has no build, no story, no titles on the line, nothing. This is where it hurts. This is where it hurts. Not having Survivor Series mean something, not having something on the line, draft picks, something tied into the Rumble, something tied into WrestleMania, something, anything. This is where it hurts, because then all of a sudden a match like this has purpose. You still may not care about seeing Sami Zayn against Bobby Lashley, but it's important because there's actually something on the line, and here there isn't. So I think Sami sneaks out the win. Lashley has been dominant on Raw. I think Sami finds a way to sneak out the win. We've got the Raw Tag Team Champions, The New Day, taking on the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits. New Day beat the Jerk Business on Monday night. That was the Kofi Kingston line that I hope he didn't come up with on his own. I cringed a little bit. The Jerk Business is what he calls the Hurt Business. That's like John Cena many years ago on TV calling JBL a poopy head. Didn't he spray paint that on his car? Poopy head. JBL is poopy. Every time I think we're in the middle of the worst era of Raw ever, I am reminded of these moments, and it makes me question, are we really in the midst of the worst era of Raw? There have been some pretty bad years of Monday Night Raw. I think that happened in what year did that happen? I want to say that happened in 2008 or 2009. I don't know. Crime Time was still around. I don't think it was all bad that year, but boy, there have been some god-awful Raw moments. Holy shit. I thought the match, though, on TV Monday night between the Hurt Business and the New Day was very good. New Day picked up the win. Although the Cedric Alexander dives were ridiculous. Cedric Alexander at one point did these three rapid dives out of the ring. Each time I was fearing either for his life or Kofi Kingston's life. The one good thing I will say about these dives that Cedric did, and there isn't much good to say about them really, but the one thing I will say, they did look devastating. And one of the issues I have with all these people who do these dives, because it's like diving to them in wrestling today, it comes as naturally as breathing or blinking your eyes. It's just become a natural reflex. They can't help themselves. As much as you need to breathe and blink and eat and drink, you need to dive. And it shouldn't be that way. But my biggest pet peeve about it is that it doesn't even look good. It doesn't even look like you're hurting the other person. They're just waiting to catch you. Or you're barely glancing them. I will say that Cedric looked like a missile flying out of that ring. And he looked like if somebody was standing in that spot, they would have been taken out. That's the best thing I can say about it. Otherwise, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking. That was a very good match. Maybe the best thing on Raw, frankly, outside of the main event. Probably the main event and that match were the two highlights from Raw on Monday night. But this should be, my issue with this, I think it'll be a good match. I think this should have been a title unification. The title should have been unified at Clash of Champions. That really is when they first had the opportunity to do a title unification between the Raw Tag Champs and the SmackDown Tag Champs. They did a random match on TV one week, and I thought it was building, like there would be some kind of screwy finish. It would build to something, a Clash of Champions, but then it never did. It was just like they were trying to pop a rating one night. I don't remember what was going on TV that night. Maybe it was like a big Monday Night Football game or something. That was their first missed opportunity. And then I said, okay, we have Survivor Series coming up. And Survivor Series is the battle of the brands. It's always non-title. But what if this year, because these divisions on their own are so weak, tag team divisions are so weak right now, what if this is the year where they finally say, you know what, we're going to actually put the titles on the line in this match, and we're going to unify them. And we're going to have one floating set of tag team champions, at least until we can rehabilitate these tag team divisions enough. We could always split them back a year from now. But let's get these titles merged, because we just don't have enough teams or enough legitimate teams on either brand to really sustain an interesting tag team division. And this is yet another missed opportunity. Something could have been on the line. It would have made sense, and they opted not to do it. They probably never even considered the idea. Big mistake. Missed opportunity yet again. I wish they would do it. Both tag team divisions are very thin. They're very weak. But I think here, the younger team on the rise should get the win. New Day doesn't need it. What the hell does New Day need to win this match for? New Day are 9 or 10-time tag team champions. They have been dominant now for, what, 6 years they've been around for? What does New Day have to win this match? The Street Profits are the ones on the way up, not the New Day. So I think a competitive match with Street Profits going over. Big frog splash by Montez Ford, capping it off. I think it would mean a lot more to the Street Profits than a victory would for the New Day. So I'm picking the Street Profits to win. Young Bibby with the super chat. When do you think WWE will allow actual paying fans again? Well, I mean, I think you got Royal Rumble coming up in January, probably at Tropicana Field. I think that Vince McMahon, if he is able to, will want to have some people in the building for the Rumble. You want to have people there counting down when people come down to the ring. Otherwise, it's not really the same. And since they're going to be in Florida, it's pretty much, I mean, anything goes in Florida, right? You can pretty much do any fucking thing you want down in Florida right now. I think the governor came out and said, hey, we want to have full stadiums, stadiums full of people. You're not going to have stadiums full of people. But if Vince McMahon wants 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000 people in the stadium, spread out, right? Big baseball stadium, you can spread them out a little bit. I think you may have fans back in the building as soon as the Rumble. You may not have to wait that much longer. Raw Women's Champion Asuka, one-on-one against the SmackDown Women's Champion Sasha Banks. Anybody see the episode of her on The Mandalorian? Because I have not. I have to go back and catch up with season one of The Mandalorian. I never finished season one, so I have to watch them all in order before I get to season two. But I'm curious, anybody who has watched the episode, did you like it? How was her acting? Do you think she'll be on future episodes? Is this like a recurring character? I don't know. I haven't heard from anybody who's actually watched it yet, so I want some feedback. I want to know what you guys thought of her on The Mandalorian. The one thing that we are guaranteed with these two, Sasha and Asuka, is that they will have a very good match. I think it would be very hard for these two women to get in the ring and not have a good match. But this is going to be the fifth time that we see these two in the ring one-on-one since the summer. Fifth time. So you talk about played out. You talk about a match that could have felt kind of special. And now it's like, oh, they're going back to this again. Because they blew their load over the summer. All over the place. So now they're bringing it back again. Extreme Rules, they wrestled to a very confusing finish where there really was no winner. Still had the best match on the show. Next night on Raw, they wrestled again. Sasha won the Raw Women's title. SummerSlam, Asuka won the title back from Sasha. Again, the next night on Raw, they wrestle again. Lumberjack match, Asuka gets the win. I think Sasha avenges the back-to-back losses from August. So I'm picking Sasha to win. I think Sasha Banks wins. I think she avenges those losses to Asuka. Asuka feels very cold right now. It's not her fault. They just don't have anything for her. I mean, for all of the attention that was on Asuka over the summer, holy shit, it's like night and day. Compare now to where we were in August, where it was almost like they were featuring Asuka too much. They were going to burn her out. People were going to get sick of her. Now she's just wandering aimlessly. She has the title, but so what? So you talk about hot and cold. She feels very cold. Sasha, on the other hand, it was, you know, I think it was really more when the spotlight was on Asuka and she was winning those matches, Sasha, it was more about the advancing the story with her and Bayley. So Sasha won a few matches, but then she lost a whole bunch. But everything was about getting to the payoff with Bayley. Bayley turning on her, doing that match. Now they've done that. And now Sasha is the champion. And she finally got that anvil off of her back. You can win it, but you can't hold on to it, right? She could never hold on to that championship. She would always lose in her first defense. And now she's finally proven everybody wrong. She won the title. She retained the title. And now Sasha can just go on, have this great run as champion. Obviously, we know she's going to be wrestling Carmella. That's going to be her next program on SmackDown. We might even see Carmella here on this show. Carmella might interfere. Carmella might come out when the match is over and attack Sasha. Or try to. Very, very likely. Very likely we'll see Carmella at some point on this show. But, and by the way, Sasha should win that feud too. I think Sasha wins here. And Sasha should go all the way on to WrestleMania. And defend that championship against Bianca Belair. I think that is the end goal here. I think that should be the match. It's a fresh match we've never seen before. Sasha Banks, one-on-one for the SmackDown Women's title at WrestleMania, defending against Bianca Belair. Keep building Bianca up. Let her wrestle Bayley next. Let her beat Bayley. And just build and build and build and build to WrestleMania. As far as Asuka goes, it just feels like they're waiting for Charlotte Flair to come back. They have nothing for her to do. What's she going to do, wrestle Lana? Oh, that'll be great. Who, by the way, she's already tapped Lana out a couple of times on TV. There's nobody else. Unless they call up somebody from NXT. They have a plethora of women in NXT right now. You've got Rhea Ripley. You've got Mercedes Martinez, who dodged a huge bullet with this Retribution garbage. You've got Raquel Gonzalez. You've got Dakota Kai. You've got Candice LeRae. You've got Io Shirai. You've got Toni Storm. You've got Ember Moon. Do you need me to go on? Indy Hartwell. Although Indy Hartwell is still new. All you got to do is pick a couple of women and call them up. And you still have plenty of women left down there in NXT. So I don't know what they're waiting for. But if they're not going to call up new people, then this just looks to be like they're just waiting for Charlotte to come back. So we get to see Charlotte and Asuka again, as if we haven't seen that a million times before. It's a shame. You know, it's a shame that their complete neglect of everybody else in that Raw women's division for so many months, it has led them to this spot. It has come back to bite them on the ass, focusing on one or two women at the expense of everybody else. And this is where you are now. You don't have anybody else. There is nobody else. You know, once Charlotte went away, it became glaring how little they really have paid attention to this division. We've got a traditional Survivor Series elimination match. We've got Team Raw, captained, at least in his mind, by AJ Styles, teaming up with Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun, I almost said Sherman. I don't know where that came from. AJ Styles, Keith Lee teaming up with the Shermanator here on this Survivor Series pay-per-view. Holy shit. Braun Strowman and Matt Riddle against Team SmackDown, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, and one competitor left to be named to the match. Team Raw, by the way, minus AJ, who did commentary, lost to Retribution on Monday night. I mean, they should just forfeit this match. They should just hang their heads in shame. The fact that they lost to Retribution. The story is they can't get along. This seems to be the story either with Raw or SmackDown every year. Feuding teammates. They cannot get along. They don't like each other. They don't want to team up together. That's the story they're going with again. I think that if it were me, Big E should get that final spot on the SmackDown side. Not only should Big E get the final spot, you talk about building people up to try to elevate them to that next level. Big E should be the sole survivor in this match for Team SmackDown. I am picking SmackDown to win. So Team SmackDown is going to be my pick. If it is not Big E, there are other options. In fact, there's two other options who I think make the most sense. One is Lars Sullivan. If they want Lars Sullivan on the show, Team SmackDown gets a monster destroyer on the team, they could go at Lars. SmackDown tomorrow night, there's going to be a match between Seth Rollins and Murphy. We know Seth is probably going to go away very soon. He's going to be away on baby duty as Becky Lynch prepares to bring their little bun in the oven is going to pop any day, any week now. So if Seth is going to go away, all the more reason for him to put over Murphy in that match tomorrow night. But maybe in the course of SmackDown tomorrow night, Seth puts his spot on the line, or Murphy says to him, I want you to put your spot on the line at Survivor Series. And Murphy wins, and Rollins is out, and Murphy ends up taking his spot on the Survivor Series team. Now, there would still be one spot left to be filled. That's where you can plug in Big E, or you can plug in a Lars Sullivan. But I think Murphy may make the team regardless if he ends up beating Seth and taking his spot, if they put that on the line in their match tomorrow night. But if it were me, like I said, I would have it be Big E. Big E's also been very cold these last few weeks. They've cooled him off. He hasn't really done much on TV. I would use him in that spot. Either way, I'm going with Team SmackDown for the win. They are my pick. And we got to get to the main event here in a second. Alex with the super chat. Who should Bray Wyatt be facing at WrestleMania? Don't know. I've been seeing these rumors about Edge. Ideas were floated about Edge and The Fiend, or Edge and Beth Phoenix against Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, and apparently that's not going to happen, but it's been talked about. I mean, I guess that could potentially be interesting. I don't know. Too early to tell. I'm kind of looking at the main events. I have a sense of what I think the main events will be, but it's too early to tell. Joe Cronin Show. What's going on, John? I know Joe is still here. What's going on, Joe? Take my life, he says. Only thing to look forward to is Undertaker on Sunday. I am worried if it is a dead show, Raw may send us all to permabed. I feel like it sends me there every week. And then I have to resuscitate, and then it just kind of happens all over again. But we are in the same boat. Stevie. My favorite Survivor Series was 2001, Team Austin against Team Rock for the company. Yeah, that was a good one. Wasn't that the show where Test won immunity? I don't remember what. I think it was immunity from being fired, right? What else would it be immunity from? COVID? He won some kind of immunity on that show. I think it was immunity from being fired. Mr. Pro Wrestling, even though Drew against Roman is the more interesting match, what do you think the point of Randy winning the belt was? I think, you know, looking at it now, I think it was just something to give Drew to chase after. I think they did so many matches between Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, they probably just realized we can't keep beating Randy like this. At some point, Randy has to win one. So we'll just give him the win. We'll let Drew chase for it on TV so we can get another match out of it. And we'll put the belt back on Drew. You know, no different than all the times they took the belt off Austin just to put it right back on him or anybody else. You know, just so they can drag things out a little bit more. Maybe pop a big rating on TV for a WWE title match, which I don't think worked. Didn't look like it popped much of a number to me. But it was the first WWE title change on TV in 5 years. We'll do more Super Chats in a second, but we got to get to the main event. WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, the new WWE Champion, two-time WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, one-on-one against the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. The match that I just got done talking about last week. Save it as a possible WrestleMania match. And now we're getting it on 6 days' notice. So now we know why Drew McIntyre was on SmackDown last week, teasing a possible match with Roman Reigns. McIntyre regained the title from Orton on Monday night. It was Orton's first title defense. I believe it was his only title defense. So that was his first title defense. And third year in a row that we have had the WWE Championship changing hands right before Survivor Series. We saw it with AJ beating Jinder Mahal. I think it was in the UK on SmackDown. That then led to AJ against Brock in that awesome match at Survivor Series in 2017. In 2018, I think two or three days before Survivor Series, Daniel Bryan, that might have been his heel turn, beat AJ Styles to win the title, went on to face Brock again. Excellent match. Excellent match. Brock works very well with the smaller guys. And AJ is a smaller guy compared to Brock. Bryan is a smaller guy. Rey Mysterio, even smaller. And they had a very good match too. So this is the third year in a row that we have now... Actually, and wait, I might be wrong about that. Hold on a second here. I might be wrong. So 2017, 2018... I might have that wrong. It might be the third in 4 years. Somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong. It's either the third year in a row or three out of the last 4 years that we have had the WWE Championship changing hands right before the Survivor Series pay-per-view. So that is a little odd. It's a little strange. But yeah, I would have held off on doing this match until possibly WrestleMania. It's one of, I think, several options that you have for an opponent for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania if you want to go down that road. But there is no doubt about it. This is a far more interesting match than Randy Orton against Roman Reigns. So we are getting the better match. Of the two matches that were teased, we are getting the better one on Sunday. Even if I would have held off on it a little bit longer, And maybe we won't get some kind of clean finish, but this is definitely the better of the two matches. So okay, everybody in the chat is saying 3 out of 4, so I stand correct. It is the third time in 4 years that the WWE Championship has changed hands right before the Survivor Series. And of course not at Survivor Series, because there's no fucking titles on the line at Survivor Series. But thank you. As I was saying, and I said, wait a minute, what about 2019? And then I realized, okay, I think there was one off year in the middle of that. So yes, we are getting the better match on Sunday. When I talk about the possibility of Drew and Roman going to WrestleMania, I'm not really sure how I feel about moving Drew to SmackDown, which is what would have to happen, right? Drew would have to move over to the SmackDown brand. I don't know who you replace Drew with on Raw. Should call up somebody new from NXT. So I think that has to be fleshed out a little bit more. The implications of doing that match, that means that you're moving one guy from one brand to the other. So I'm not really sure. Not really sure how I feel about that. Neither man should be losing clean. Really, neither man should be losing at all. But the question is, who, if anybody, interferes in this match? Is Jey Uso going to show up? Somebody else going to show up? You know, Randy Orton, The Fiend. They've teased stuff with Drew and The Fiend. The Fiend has no match. You know, unless we see him with The Undertaker. Is The Fiend going to make an appearance? Alexa Bliss? We don't know. We don't know. There's a lot of different possibilities. Maybe Sheamus. Right? They've been buddy-buddy on TV now. We've gotten all of these segments with Drew and Sheamus showing us the friendship that they have together. We all know where that's leading to, right? Sheamus is a natural opponent for him for that title, maybe at the Royal Rumble, maybe even at WrestleMania. If they don't do Drew and Roman, you could potentially build to Drew and Sheamus. It would take some real good build-up to really get me convinced that Sheamus is the best possible WWE title challenger at WrestleMania. But I think you could get there. If you tell the right story with these two guys, I think you could get yourself to that point. When the time is right, Sheamus lowers the boom, he turns on his best friend, and you could potentially get a WrestleMania match out of that. But maybe Sheamus gets involved. Maybe he's trying to save him. Maybe Jey Uso comes down and here comes Sheamus. He's just trying to help out his friend. Trying to even the odds a little bit, inadvertently, cost Drew the match, Roman wins. Certainly possible. That is certainly possible. I think it's too early to do that. I wouldn't start planting seeds now to split the friendship between the two of them. So here's an idea that I think protects both guys from being pinned. There is one other question. kind of dangling out there. And that is the Money in the Bank briefcase. We know that The Miz has the Money in the Bank briefcase. And we also know that Sunday is 10 years to the day. And had Randy Orton kept the title, it would have been 10 years ago to the day and to the very same opponent that The Miz cashed in and won the WWE Championship in 2010. November 22nd, 2010. That was on Raw. This is Survivor Series. You cannot have a Survivor Series pay-per-view 10 years to the day and not at least tease the possibility that Miz is going to cash in, or just flat out have Miz cash in. So I think it's pretty safe to say there's going to be a cash in attempt on this show. How do you do it? How do you do it? Do you wait until the match is over? Do you do it before that? Do you do it a little bit earlier than that? So here's the idea that I'm thinking. Just like WrestleMania 31, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, both guys are down. Drew is down. Roman is down. More importantly, though, Drew is down. Drew is the one who matters here. Out comes Miz and Morrison. Out comes Miz and Morrison. Morrison can come on out. He could be there as the help. It doesn't matter, right? Because at that point, if this turns into what I'm proposing, which is a triple threat match, triple threat matches are no DQ. But I think Miz can come down and cash in mid-match. I mean, if he sees an opening and he doesn't think he may have another opportunity, there's no better time to strike than now. Miz races down to the ring with Morrison and a referee, and he cashes in, and this now turns into a triple threat match. This non-title match now becomes a triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Drew's title is now on the line. And yes, that means that Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, could conceivably win the WWE title. That would certainly make things much more interesting. If people think that Roman now has a chance to walk out with two titles, but that's not really what it's about. It's about Miz. It's about Miz trying to cash in a win. But Miz ends up being pinned by Drew. That then gets you out of having Drew pin Roman. Roman takes the fall. Roman will lose. I am predicting a Drew McIntyre win, but he gets the win over The Miz in what turns into a triple threat. And yeah, it is kind of a cop-out because people who want a clean finish, a decisive finish, you're not going to get one. And you shouldn't get one. You shouldn't get one until these two are ready to fight for the championship. This is not for the championship one-on-one. So it's okay to not have a decisive finish in this match on 6 days' notice. But that's your way out. Drew gets the win. Roman doesn't have to take the direct loss. Miz is going to look like a jabron no matter what. That's how he's booked on TV every week. I don't see why this should be any different. Nobody takes him seriously anyway. And that's how you get out of it. And you give Drew McIntyre the win. So that's my idea. You may have a better one. That's just my idea. You may have a better idea, but that's your way out. But I can't see this show going by without a Money in the Bank cash-in. It's got to be a Money in the Bank cash. 10 years to the day. How do you not? What are you waiting for? You're gonna have Miz hold the briefcase for another 3 months? I mean, I guess you could. Just get that fucking thing off of him. The Miz does not just in any way fit into the WWE title picture right now or any title picture. So him carrying the briefcase for another 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months to me is pointless. That's how you save both guys. And there you go. SmackDown edges Raw. SmackDown gets the win, whatever that means. And that is your Survivor Series card. It can be a very good show. It can be a very good show. Even though a lot of the stuff on this show just feels very uninspired. But that main event, it's a lot better than the main event they were promoting a week ago. I will say that. Evan Watson, 2003 Survivor Series was a great elimination match with Austin and Bischoff. Yeah, that was, that, you know, that might have been, I might be missing one from a few years ago. But I almost feel like that might have been the last truly great Survivor Series elimination match. There had to have been another one, though, that was on par. Since, I mean, that was 17 years. If 17 years ago was the last truly great Survivor Series elimination match, that's really sad. But that's the last one that comes to my mind. And you know why? Part of it, there was something on the line. Austin's career, his job. Shawn Michaels bled to try to save Steve Austin's job, and it didn't work. Khalid, your thoughts on Aaliyah Mysterio's role now in WWE? I don't think she has much of one. The story has paid off. She and Murphy can be an item. They can quietly break up off screen. And she could just go on and continue. I think she's in college right now. Let her finish out college. If she wants to join the wrestling business after that, she can join the wrestling business. She can join the family business. I don't see any more progression in this storyline necessary. Jesse Moctezuma. If Becky Lynch comes back, do you think they'll have her beat Asuka immediately? No, I don't. Amari Johnson, could WWE be looking to set up both Cena and Orton in a match, maybe a triple threat, where if either of them win, they get number 17? That could be why Orton won. Yeah, I think part of the reason Orton won is to get him that much closer, but I don't think there's some grand plan to build to something between him and Cena. He's still only at 14. He'd have to win 15 and then 16 before he could even think about getting to 17. I don't think there's any grand plan here between or involving Orton and Cena to get them to a match. So I don't think that's what they're thinking. Najari 22, buy or sell on retirement matches. Chris Jericho against Fandango or Kurt Angle against Baron Corbin. Ugh. I get, you know what? They both sucked. I don't care about either one of those matches. I'll buy on Jericho and Fandango just because it probably was the better match. I didn't care for either one, though. And Nayef, donating another super chat. Thank you, Nayef. I appreciate that. All right, so I think we're good, man. I think that covers pretty much everything as far as Survivor Series on Sunday. I am going to be live back here on YouTube again as soon as Survivor Series goes off the air. And part of what we're going to be doing on Sunday is not just reviewing the pay-per-view, so I'll be there to talk about everything, and I hope you'll choose me for your Survivor Series coverage. But the other cool thing that we'll be doing is the Wrestle Rumble contest. I will be hosting live right here on YouTube, and there's actually two of them I'm going to tell you about, but the one I'm doing the live drawing for is this one right here. We're giving away 4 championship replica belts. And there you see the first, second, third, and fourth place belts. NWA. There it is, 10 pounds of gold right there. ECW Championship Replica, NXT Original Championship, and the AEW title. It's just $1. $1 to enter. You can enter as many times as you want. Come on back here Sunday night live. I will be drawing the 4 names, and your name could be one of them. So that's going to be a lot of fun to do on Sunday night. And then there's this thing right here. This is a completely separate contest. This is the Wrestle Rumble Survivor Series Pick'em. First place winner, $500 cold hard cash. Second place, $250. Oh, we got Super Chat. I forgot, we got to move that up. There we go. There's my ugly mug. Najari with another Super Chat. Look at this. Says Sasha had 2 lines. She looks good and she'll be on for a couple of episodes at least. She is a part of the, a spitter set of Mandalorian. What the hell does that mean? What is a spitter set of Mandalorians? Do I even want to know? All right. Well, all I got out of that super chat is that Sasha is a spitter. That's the only thing I got out of that super chat. But I'm glad that apparently she did well on The Mandalorian, and she will be back for more episodes. I mean, that's a huge coup for her. I saw her on The Bump earlier talking about how she got the role. Jon Favreau sent some producer or somebody to slide into her DMs and to tell her that Jon was really impressed. You know what I find hilarious, by the way, about the story? You would think, like, Jon Favreau or somebody who works on The Mandalorian watched Sasha's work in WWE and became a big fan of hers and wanted to do something with her. You know how she got the role for The Mandalorian? Because Jon Favreau saw her appearance on Hot Ones, same show that The Undertaker was on earlier today. They saw Sasha Banks. They probably didn't know much about her. They didn't see her all the hours on television, right, with WWE. Think of all the hours of television that this woman has been on for WWE. And she got the role because somebody saw her on Hot Ones. That's like putting the knife in there for WWE, you know? Yeah, let's call up that lady that we saw on that show who was eating the spicy wings. I liked her. She showed some personality on that show. Call her up. I want to put her on my TV show. That's how she got the part. Mandalorian, I mean, is part of the whole Star Wars universe. I mean, it's huge. Who knows what other roles it might lead to? Sasha could be the next breakout star that Vince McMahon loses. It's probably why they haven't, you know, mentioned anything on TV. They've promoted it on their social media, but they haven't said a single thing about her being on The Mandalorian on their TV show. Because WWE and Disney, they don't have a business relationship, so they don't gain anything out of it. Najari, it's all good, man. It's all good. Splitter set. Not spitter. Splitter set. Anyway, let me I interrupted my own plug. There is also this, the Survivor Series pick'em contest. So this is just straight up cash. You buy an entry, it's $10 per entry. You answer a whole series of questions. It's like a quiz. Who do you think is going to have the most eliminations on Sunday? Who's going to win this match? Who's going to win that match? That sort of thing. And that I am not doing that contest, but the winners of that will be announced on Tuesday next week. So you got a couple of different contests you could partake in, courtesy of our good friends over at WrestleRumble.com. They're good people there. Got another contest actually coming up next month. I can't say anything about it yet, but that one is pretty cool too. We're going to end the year with a bang, because we got NXT TakeOver War Games coming up in a few weeks. So that'll be a good time. Hit that like button. If you have not already done so, it does help out all of these videos when you do so. I don't mention it enough, so I thank everybody in the chat who is doing it for me. Yes, please hit the thumbs up. I appreciate that. I think we're done here. I will try to get phone calls in on the Sunday night stream. Once the pay-per-view is over, I think we'll save the calls for then. Am I still saying it wrong? He is still saying it wrong. It's Splinter Sect. Okay. Okay, so, well, don't blame me. You could take that up with Najari. I have no idea what any of this even means. I'm just going by what you guys tell me. Apparently, Sasha Banks, though, is part of the Splinter Sect. So there it is. Splinter Sect. Yeah, ST Luke in the chat says that $500 from that pick'em contest could buy you a PS5. If you can find one. Good luck finding one. My brother got his. Came in the other day. This thing is gigantic. I haven't played it yet because it's his. I mean, I haven't played PlayStation in years, but this thing is gigantic. But yeah, you can win money in the Pick'em contest and buy yourself a PS5. All right, thank you for all the support. Thank you for joining me here on a Thursday night, joining me for my predictions. And I'll be back with you again on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. Episode 679 of the Sound Off. A lot more news coming up, and also a big history segment. A lot of stuff to cover. A lot of good stuff to cover on Sunday. Sunday night, back here live on YouTube for the Survivor Series recap. And then we have one more AEW Dynamite stream left in the month of November. I believe that's the final one. That is the Thanksgiving Eve. So whatever your Thanksgiving plans are in a week, I hope you all have a very pleasant Thanksgiving, even if it's not necessarily getting together with all the usual people. But have yourself a great Thanksgiving. Patrice, I love you, brother. Boombox Brock, I can't think of a better super chat to end this stream on. I love Boombox Brock. I miss I miss the guy. Look how much fun he's having. That's a man who is excited for the Sound Off stream on Sunday night. And I hope you will join me then as well. All right, I'm out of here, guys. Have a good night. Juan Ocampo, what's going on, Juan? Tal, Casey DeMost. All right, I'm out, guys. I'll see you on Sunday. Take care.